to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Jonathan Scott with another exciting adventure of Vegas Nonstop, coming to you live from the studios of NBC Sports Radio 920 AM here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, where nothing happens all the time.
I love how you call it another adventure.
Another exciting adventure of Vegas Nonstop. With my co-host for the last 27 years, as he stated earlier, Jeffrey with a G, Jeffrey Kramer.
Johnny, what's up, brother?
Living the dream, but I'm not sure whose.
88 degrees in Las Vegas today.
And sports and weather are the ones. You know, and it's backed up at the spaghetti ball.
Exactly.
I just had a cup of coffee, but I'm making up for our other guest today, Amal Shah, who seems a little slow today.
Hey, what are you kidding me? I'm ready to go. I was just taking it easy before we got on the air.
He's in an eggplant parm coma.
Yeah, you got that
from
right.
From Amore Taste of Chicago.
Yes.
We turned him over to Chicago restaurant. Now Amal can't stay away. Also joining us, former pitcher for the Yankees, the Athletics, the Royals, and other teams probably, Josh Towers.
I just keep naming them. Few more.
How many teams total?
I'd have to do the math, man. There's a few. 8 or 9, I'm not sure. There's a lot.
Tell us again about throwing a spitball.
Hey, that almost derailed my career.
Wait, wait. I do want to ask you about that, by the way, because the other night there was something on the mound.
Was there?
That was a little fishy, something fishy.
That's the name of
and
Jeffrey's
Girardi
company.
And Girardi came out to bring it up with the ump, and I wanted to ask you about it.
And every time I hear Joe Girardi's name, you know, the only thing I think of is former Cub.
Yeah, not many people think of him as a
not
Cub.
Not at all.
Well, those from Chicago do.
He went to Northwestern.
He was a catcher.
Yeah, but he's a pinstripe through and through. I mean, come on.
Nah, he was a Cub first, and once you're a Cub, you bleed blue.
He anchored all those great Yankee teams in the mid to late 90s, and then obviously 10 years now as the head coach.
Josh can comment on this. You generally bleed the uniform of the ones that pay you your checks.
I don't remember the Cub uniform for him.
So anyway, how was your weekend, guys? What did you guys do? I watched a lot of football. I watched football like all day yesterday.
I did too, and I once again was not happy with what I saw. Terrible, terrible
football.
I know,
you've got another rant coming.
Lousy.
I saw a funny movie. I did squeeze a movie in.
What'd you see?
I called The House with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
Was it good?
Oh, it's hilarious.
All right.
And I don't always like the Will Ferrell movies. So, you know, sometimes I find them a little too much on the sophomoric side. But this one
too
is
sophomoric
where they,
for you.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like,
if it's too sophomoric for me, then you know it's really sophomoric. Him and Amy Poehler have to raise money for their kids' college fund, and they turn their house into a casino. That's the premise of the whole show. The whole movie.
I believe our entire city is predicated upon that.
Well, that's why I was able to relate to it.
It sounds like Boiler Room. Remember Boiler Room?
No. Yes.
Giovanni Ribisi?
Ben Affleck, Giovanni Ribisi, Nia Long.
You got to see
Vin
that
Diesel.
One for sure.
Yeah, I can't even believe that you remember Giovanni Ribisi.
He was the main guy in the movie. I couldn't believe that midget was with Nia Long.
Listen, he had a casino in Queens in his mom and dad's house. He had this beautiful table where he was just taking action all night. It was great.
I have to see it. I don't think I saw that.
You never
How did you miss
Boiler
that
room?
Movie?
You were a bookie in college.
That's like sitting there saying you missed Wall Street when it came out in the 80s.
Thanks.
I saw Wall Street.
For a little bit.
Wall Street was great. And I did that. And I saw a couple of shows. I saw the Tenors of Rock over at Harrah's. Which is kind of interesting. I kind of predicted that they were going to do Bohemian Rhapsody, of course, and they did Bohemian Rhapsody. Good show. You know,
so they're doing covers of great male vocals in rock?
Yeah. And
so
there's five guys.
Other than Queen, what did they do?
They did British Invasion, a little British Invasion, a little Zeppelin, a little Stones, a little Beatles.
Any newer stuff, like a Soundgarden
Chris
Cornell?
No, that would be a good suggestion for Seth Udoff.
Seth, if you're listening, we need something from the late Chris Cornell, please.
Something from the 2000s. Some music from the 2000s.
Or the 90s.
So I did see Tenors of Rock, and I saw a really funny show called Misbehave Game Show. Which is over at Bally's. It's very interaction. How you saw it?
No, come on. You think I'm going to sit
through
a show?
Oh, you can't sit through anything. I forgot.
I'm surprised I sit through my own show.
I have a good idea. Before you take him to a show, go to Amore's for some eggplant and pasta.
And then he'll sleep.
He'll sleep through the whole show.
I went to see Phantom of the Opera Toronto. Had some of the best seats ever. 5 minutes in, I wake up, the show's
and by
over.
By the way, the Tenors of Rock did do the song from Phantom.
Did you not offer a minute?
Yeah. It's a little dozing during the Phantom. What does that have to do with rock and roll?
I agree.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is not rock and roll.
Forget about Andrew Lloyd Webber. I want to get to something with Josh, and I want to get into
it. Before that, I've got to do one plug. Just one plug, one more plug. And
plug
that,
away.
Then, actually, a couple. But November 5th at the Venetian, our friend Frankie Shinta is having a fundraiser to build a permanent memorial to the families.
For the victims.
For the victims and the families from October 1st. And that's going to be at the Venetian. Tickets are now on sale. And I'll have almost every headliner you can imagine from Las Vegas, including Siegfried and Roy are going to be there. Wayne Newton is going to be there. Clint Holmes is going to be there. It's going to be an afternoon event, November 5th at the Venetian.
That's a Sunday, correct?
Yes. That's a Sunday. Tough to break away from football.
What time is it at?
It's in the afternoon. I just hung up with Frankie. We're going to have more information on the Friday show and on the Monday show. And So anyway, I promised Frankie I'm going to plug that. That's going to be a really cool thing
to build
a permanent memorial.
Yeah, that's cool.
And if you know Frankie Shinta, you know, he's one of the most sensitive, loving guys that we have here in town. And so, anyway, got that out of the way. That's really the last plug. So we can get into baseball now. We're moving into the World Series. First game is tomorrow night. And, Josh, do you guys want to just start in, or Josh, you want to give us a take on the playoffs as they were so far?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was pretty good overall. I've been, you know, I'm sorry, by the way. Apologize to you.
Because the Yankees.
I told you all year, I love where the Yankees were at. I thought that they had the team. I don't like when I keep hearing this rebuilding year. I think rebuilding is another word for we don't know.
But even rookies. Most Yankee fans are saying that they exceeded all of their expectations.
Well, when you get a veteran guy or a guy's been around, you know what you're going to get. And when you have younger second-year, first-year guys, the expectations are, I don't know what's going to happen. You had the quality. I mean, if it was a rebuilding year, you don't go get Matt Holliday and guys like that. You don't
or Todd
players.
Frazier at third base.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about the guys they added. I'm talking about the guys that they had got earlier. And so I don't think it was a rebuilding. I think that, okay, ask Derek Jeter too. If you ask them if they're happy about how far they got, they're going to say no, that they should have been in the World Series. They should
be
playing the Dodgers. So I thought it was a great year.
To me about the difference in offense from the Yankees' bats between batting in the Bronx and batting in Houston.
I don't understand.
I couldn't understand how in four games in Houston they put up a total of three runs.
And a hitter friendly park as well. Very
correct.
Similar to the Yankees,
correct,
were very hitter friendly. I don't know. I mean, I understand playing at home and playing away. I know the comfortability of sleeping in your own bed and showing up when you want, driving your own car. I get all that kind of stuff. But I don't understand how it can be so night and day with what they did in New York and what they did in Houston.
Do you think perhaps that is what lends to maybe the younger guys not being experienced on the road in certain situations? Although I will say this. Aaron Judge made one of the craziest catches I've ever seen the other night in Houston. That was unbelievable.
Hey, maybe
up against the wall.
Yeah, over the wall.
Over
right
the wall.
Back
over
in.
The wall.
He's 6'5" or 6'7".
He
barely
eight.
Had a jump. Yeah, he's enormous.
Well, it was reminiscent
that was
of the
cool
home run that he didn't get the in games.
Right. I think he came
two.
Up tentative that first one against the wall, and that
and
one.
He said,
I guarantee you that they went and worked on that before game, pregame, before BP. They went and worked on that wall so he can get where he's at, because I don't think he knew how many steps he had once he hit dirt to wall. And I think they worked on it
because of what had happened earlier
sure
in the series.
And you see that a lot.
That's interesting.
You see that a lot where,
and that's a short wall.
If you really want to see what goes on, you got to try to beat batting practice. You got to get there. I mean, the second the gates open, and if you have any contacts, get there a little bit earlier. That's where you'll see the real work put in.
But I love that you bring up, like, most people go to BP to watch the BP.
Yeah.
But you're actually talking about working on stuff in the outfield defensively, which I think is great. I'd never think to do that.
And unfortunately for all the fans, sometimes, you know, we'll be doing that stuff at 3:00 in the afternoon or 2:00 in the afternoon before it all starts. You really don't get to see it, but they don't mess around.
So here's my question for you.
Yeah,
Clayton Kershaw is going to go against Dallas Keuchel in game one. I know a lot of people are down on Kershaw, but I thought mentally, even though he had huge run support in game five, I felt like he turned a page and is going to pitch extremely well tomorrow night. My feeling was with the way Verlander's pitched at home, the way Keuchel's going, maybe you start someone else in game one against CK, and then I like the matchups with Keuchel and Verlander against whether it's Darvish and Alex Wood or Rich Hill. And was particularly with the way Verlander has been in Houston, I thought you go Keuchel 2, Verlander 3, and then you have them for 6 and 7, depending on how the series plays out. My feeling is they're going to have a tough time beating Los Angeles in Game 1 with CK on the mound tomorrow night.
Always. Always. And you're right. I mean, a couple years ago, we would have said, all right, Clayton's not really going to get it done. He always tries to do too much in the playoffs. And now he has been pitching better. This means a lot to him. What's going on right now with Los Angeles Dodgers?
You can tell he's so emotional.
Yeah. So I think that he's able to clean it up and lock back in. I think you're right. He's going to have an unbelievable game. But Dallas Keuchel's pretty dang good as well. And we know the offense at night on the West Coast, the ball doesn't travel as much. So I think we're in for something special with these two guys.
Talk about that for a second. What do you mean the ball doesn't travel as well on the West Coast?
It's the air coming off the ocean. I mean, the ball doesn't fly as well on the West Coast at night compared to the day especially.
Air density in San Diego, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles Dodgers, mm-hmm. not as much in Anaheim, but a little bit.
A little bit.
If you're a better, a lot of those games are automatic unders. We had Roxy Roxborough on our show earlier, and we were talking about we couldn't believe one time we saw 8.5s and 9s at Dodger Stadium on the total.
And you're hammering the under?
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Even when the wind's blowing out at Dodger Stadium, that's too high.
Josh is absolutely right. You know, and he knows this better than anybody. He's obviously pitched there. But the thing is, you get into a situation as the game gets later. The air gets cooler. It's harder. It mm-hmm. just the ball does not carry. And so what you're going to need is a ton of hits in an inning. I usually use a rule of thumb, including walks. You're going to need 2 hits per run scored. So in essence, you're going to need a couple of walks in there, string together several hits. And it's tough to do when you look at the Dodgers pitching staff and that bullpen. And one of my reasons for saying Keuchel maybe shouldn't go, and you're right, he has been lights out, Josh. But if you use Clayton Kershaw, and with the way that Dodgers bullpen is, which is a decided advantage to me over Houston, I think that favors the Dodgers. And my concern is you use Keuchel for 7 strong, and if you're not able to scratch or you're only able to get 1 run and the Dodgers hold on, then you've used one of your 2 aces.
Yeah, I think it really does get tough when you're trying to set your playoff rotation. You want to get your guys as many starts as possible. I need Fair Clayton, enough. I need Dallas to pitch as many times. You're right, Verlander's been amazing, and he's been unbelievable in Houston.
Unreal. Yeah,
all these guys, we would all love to pitch at home if we could. It's just more fun.
Sure.
I don't got to take the bus to the field or a cab. I could drive my own car at the time that I want to. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but...
Does that change everything psychologically and how you're preparing for the game
I don't think so, because starters are on such a strict routine. Everything's time-based for us on when we're, you know, stretching or eating or, you know, whatever.
Warming up,
whatever
icing.
It is, maybe. Everything we do is time from. So I don't really think that it affects too much. There are some fields that you just don't like to set up a little bit more than others, but these two, I pitched in both, and both are fine, so I don't think it affects you too much. But honestly, how do you not – I know what you're saying, but how do you not have it set up where he pitches twice or Dallas can pitch twice?
No, I'm saying they can pitch twice. Yeah. Pitch games 2 and 3 and then potentially 6 and 7.
And how would you pitch game 1?
You'd have to look at the rotation. I mean, obviously,
but that's the other thing. I don't mean to cut you off. But
no, you're fine.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to
Darvish.
Do I want Wood to start 1? I know he's been great, but am I willing to risk going down 0-1? And I don't think either one of them are. There's a lot of times during the season that I'm on board with this kind of stuff, but I don't know if in the World Series you can take that chance.
I completely appreciate what you're saying. It's funny. We talked to Steve Phillips yesterday on our show, and Steve Phillips agreed with what you were saying. You know, he said, "Look, you got to go with Keuchel." Yeah, exactly. And so I get where everybody's coming from. I just feel like, to me, when I look at the rotation of both teams in this particular World Series, Clayton Kershaw's number 1. Then I've got number 2, Justin Verlander, number 3, Dallas Keuchel, and then after that, I've got guys from the Dodger staff of Wood, Rich Hill, Darvish. You can count, they're interchangeable to me. But to me, these are guys that can get hit. And especially in Houston, I think they're going to be able to hit these guys. My feeling is I would rather have Verlander and Keuchel against anyone else the Dodgers throw out besides Kershaw in any of the matchups, and I feel confident that they're going to win those games.
Yeah, you see that a lot. Like, I saw it a lot in Japan, and you see it a lot in other places where it's like they always try to match up number ones, and it's like, hey, don't bump him up a day or anything like that. Leave him where he is. Let him beat up on a number 2 or number 3, and let's have your number 4 or 5 take a shot because you can still beat him. So I do understand that to what you're saying.
We're going to take our first commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM. Stay right where you is.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween murder mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature 3-course service, along with 2 courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all town folk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
Hey, Las Vegas, are you building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass store provider in Las Vegas, invites you to call them for a free estimate or stop by their modern showroom to view all the possibilities for your new windows or to replace your tired, worn-out windows and glass doors. Windows Plus can help you lower your power bills and make your home the talk of the neighborhood. Windows Plus, serving Las Vegas for over 40 years. Windows Plus, 5225 South Valley View, at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. 702-450-2275. That's 702-450-2275.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Casaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Casaro Plumbing and A.A. Casaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Casaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacasaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out-of-pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
NBC Sports 920 The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Vegas nonstop, and it's backed up at the Spaghetti Bowl. We're here on NBC Sports Radio, 920 AM, with Josh Towers, Jeffrey with the GMO show, talking baseball, Major League Baseball, World Series coming up. First game Tuesday, October 24th. The Houston Astros against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's pick it up where you guys left off.
Game 7 in Houston. Charlie Morton's on the mound. By the way, is it me or has he just like found some new stuff that I haven't seen from him before?
So they changed to...
I'm talking about the other night's game, Game 7.
Yeah. Sorry.
Charlie Morton's on the mound, and I want to talk about Charlie Morton, His stuff was better than I remember it being.
I don't remember that guy in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
I don't remember. It happens a lot.
I remember him quite vividly because he was a bet against all the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, to me, when I heard Charlie Morton was starting Game 7, I thought it was like, hey, is anybody available in the city of Houston and Harris County? We're going to pick someone? I mean,
couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't believe it. Severino against Morton, and I'm like, Yankees have a real shot here, and... they couldn't get any wood on the ball.
No, they couldn't. He did well. They all did well. Those guys, sometimes you get contracts to where now you're comfortable at home. Sometimes you get to a new organization and you start to go, oh, this isn't just about, this is actually about winning. There is more to the game than what I learned in this organization. Sometimes changing teams helps, or you get past that hurdle of, you know, am I a big league guy or minor league guy? I don't have to worry about making a team anymore. I'm actually comfortable and know that I can actually work on things. And Charlie obviously jumped that hurdle because he's been awesome. He was awesome all year.
In the beginning of the game, we saw him on the mound with that chewing gum in his mouth.
Okay.
And there were a couple of times he went to his mouth with his fingers on the chewing gum.
I'm going to stop you. It's not illegal apparently anymore to go to your mouth.
That's what I don't understand.
It used to be a ball. You couldn't do it.
I'm watching the game at home with a couple of buddies. I'm like, how is he going to a mouth? Not alone just with saliva,
No, he deserves
it. Come on.
He deserves it.
As a pitcher, I understand your point of view. But come on. He's blatantly going to the chewing gum, and that's when Girardi came out and started talking to the home plate ump about what's going on with the gum.
Right, and that takes that's a lot of money, man. By the way, that's a write off right there on how much chewing gum he went through to find out which one's the stickiest.
Touche,
guys. You could never walk off the mountain. Yes. I couldn't even blow on my hand without permission. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought you could only blow on your hand when it was extremely cold weather. Exactly,
and you can go to the rosin. Yeah. That's it.
I gotta be honest. When you lick your hand, it actually dries it out. So the ball actually gets it slips out more. It doesn't help the steam, the moisture from the steam, that actually helps it. So whatever he's using. Using sticky enough.
Oh, like, for gripping me.
Yeah, yeah. So I like hold on to the hitter's bats in the dugout. I just hold on
with
to the
pine
stick.
Tar.
Yeah, and then let it down right before I get out to have some of it. To me, the rosin bag isn't enough.
That. I've never heard that before.
But there's some stuff, dude. I'll wet your pants and with like alcohol, and then I'll hit it the white pants, and I'll hit it with the rosin bag. You can't see it, and that makes it super sticky. What about Julian Tavares?
Oh, I mean,
his was blatant, but his was right here.
Yeah, but you saw this goop sitting on his hat. Like, come on.
There's certain things that we got to do the high disc, but
why isn't
really
anyone
hard.
Else talking about the
why
the
is it
hands
illegal?
To the gun?
I mean, why is it legal now? When did all of a sudden going to your mouth become legal? And I'm good with it, obviously.
I'm asking you. You're the MLB guy.
If it's legal for me to go to my mouth, then who
cares?
We're
all sitting
we
there
all
watching
get
this guy
anywhere we want. They all
putting
get
his finger on his chewing gum.
How about the hitter? He gets a call timeout when the bat slips out. Go get their thing.
Yeah, but Josh, while he's on the mound right before the pitch in his throwing hand?
But that's my point, though. If they're allowed to go to their mouth now, then it's not illegal to chew gum or chew tobacco. It's not illegal to do any of that stuff. So who cares what's in my mouth? I can go whenever I want. And that's him just beating the rules.
I don't know, man. Okay. So what if he goes up there with pine tar in his mouth and he wants to put it on his fingers? That's good, too?
To be it. Good on
him. I'm just saying, like, where do you draw the line?
No, I hear you.
Well, you know who I got to know that was really it was Gaylord Perry.
Yeah,
and Gaylord Perry was
the king
of the spitball.
But it was like Vaseline, and it slipped out of his hand. Like that's what they were trying to teach us in Double-A. No names mentioned. But it was the most nerve-wracking thing ever. You had like this slippery something was on your pants.
No
you were trying
way.
To, so can we talk, to hit it, and the ball slips out.
Because can we talk about Tuesday a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's what was getting towards is that you've got a great matchup here. You've got Kershaw and you've got Dallas Keuchel going for the Astros. Josh, I wanted to ask you, though, you know, they talk about pitching and hitting being contagious. Can you expand on that a little bit? The reason why I ask that is, to me, to a certain extent, baseball, even though it's a team sport, to a certain extent is an individual sport. When you're in the box, it's you and the pitcher. When you're on the mound, it's you and the hitter.
Yeah, that's why I like lineups to remain the same for hitters. We, you know, if they're going well, I want the lineup to stay the same. When these guys come to the field and they see their name in the same spot where they envision it when they went to sleep or where they woke up
it's
thinking
that
about
comfort
it,
feeling?
It is a comfort. It's like, ah, that's where I, you know, so they're more relaxed. When you see a lineup bouncing around and they don't know if or when or where they're going to be, I think it gets hard. So it does get contagious. The hitting aspect for me, giving that. For pitching, once again, when you're truly there for your team and you want to see the boys have success, then it becomes a lot more fun. You're watching the guy before you, you're doing the game chart in the dugout the night before you pitch it, and you know, for me, Holiday goes 8 innings or 9 innings. That's motivating to me, and I got to see how he did it. So now I want to kind of go and match what Roy did. Yeah. So then I wake up motivated to go ahead and try to duplicate that, and then, you know, the guy pitching after me, let's say Ted Lilly or somebody, he wants to do that too because, you know, we have a little clubhouse rivalry where we're trying to compete versus each other on a fun aspect. And so, yeah, it all becomes contagious in that regard. When you're losing and everybody's like, oh, my God, or like, what can we do? Then you're pressing to find stuff. Then it's the reverse side of being contagious where you just can't win.
You just brought up a really interesting point because usually we see the batters talking to each other about how to hit a certain guy. What did he throw you that time? What did he throw you on the 2-1?
Yeah, very important.
We don't think about a pitcher watching a colleague or a comrade pitch ahead of him and using that as a blueprint to pitch batters similarly for that success.
You see it when the pitchers are charting pitches. They're kind of looking at what they're doing and how it's effective. But I'll tell you, you know, one of the things in this particular matchup that I'm looking forward to is, and this is going to be the different dynamic. We're in a National League ballpark. So there's going to be a situation potentially in the sixth or seventh inning that comes up, maybe even in the eighth inning, where one of these two starters is going extremely well. But because the game is extremely close, one of the managers may have to lift the pitcher for a pinch hitter. And that's the one thing I don't like sometimes. Or a pinch runner. It could be a real interesting situation. So we'll see how Dave Roberts handles it because Clayton Kershaw's postseason career ERA in the seventh inning is 25. So I want to see if he gets past six innings and he's dealing. Does he stay with him or does he lift him in a situation for a pinch hitter? Obviously, it's going to depend on the game.
It's hard.
I was going to say, I think the first 3 innings for Kershaw are going to be the make or break because you know Correa, Altuve, all those guys.
Well, that's this part. That's where your heart rate's still going and you can't slow it down.
Well,
that's
the nerve wracking. And he knows how big this stage is. And I think Houston's going to come in a little more loosey-goosey because not that the pressure's not on them. Obviously, it's the World Series you want to win. But I just think after getting through that seventh game with the Yankees, that they're just going to come in a little more loosey, a little, you know, not as hyped up. And I think they could jump on Kershaw early with two or three runs.
Yeah, they could. Once again, it's adrenaline. You see it. You see Severino's up throwing 100, whether he's up at the knees or, I mean, sorry, up at the thighs or is he at the knees. I mean, which guy are we going to get? That's the difference of whether I can control it or I can't control it.
Great point.
I was talking to my son's team the other day, and we were talking a little bit about PFP, pitchers fielding practice. None of them really knew what that was. They all do it, but they don't know what it's called. And then about handling the bat, bunting, and being able to control that stuff. That's what's going to determine who stays in the game and who doesn't. Right? We already see these managers pull all their starters. It doesn't matter if it's American League or National League in the third, fourth, fifth inning. It doesn't matter.
Six max.
Because you can't.
Say that again, PFP.
Pitchers fielding practice? Yeah, PFP. So the guys that can, and these guys with the Dodgers, I've been there. I've been with Clayton. They take a lot of pride in bunt plays and fielding their position so third basemen can stay home so I'll get the line so I can get that lead out. They take a lot of pride. Maury Wills teaches it to them, how to handle the bat, how to bunt, how to hit and run, do all that stuff. So those are the things that will cause Dave Roberts to keep those guys in a lot longer. You, Darvish, you're out.
I don't know Kershaw as well as you do, but Clayton's from Dallas. I've interviewed him several times in the offseason. The one thing that I really like about him and why I like him starting game one is he has a very level disposition. He's not a guy who's going to go like off the reservation like certain guys. He's not as emotional, and I think that helps him immensely. That first batter, once you can get through that, you get back to just pitching, and I think that'll help. That first batter is really going to be critical for him.
I think simulating a batter or two, simulating Altuve or Springer in the bullpen ahead of time before you actually come out of there and start the game is going to be very important too. Maybe even ask somebody to come and stand in there because that's important. You got to get that out of the way as well.
And Houston's going to need Springer to start doing something because he has not been getting on base at all.
You're absolutely right.
He's terrible.
Once again, goes back to the lineup being consistent. That offense has been consistent all year. And does that lineup fluctuate?
Nope.
Maybe 6, 7, and 8.
I couldn't believe Girardi kept judging the two hole all that time when he had, you know, 0-for-20 with 10, 15 strikeouts.
We talked about it. I thought about it more after we left last time. And it's the intimidation factor. I'm still, even though I know he's an easy out, at least that's what's going through my head. If I make a mistake,
he's
going to
make you pay.
Yeah. And so I still got to worry about him, and I still got to be very selective and try to pitch around him to the point where I'm not giving in, but I'm not necessarily trying to walk him. And if I put him on base, I got danger behind him, but if I make a mistake, he hits it over the fence. So it's still hard. It's not a walk in the park. It's not at all.
I agree with what you're saying, but sometimes do you feel like there's paralysis by overanalysis? And what I'm saying is, look, a great player in baseball. A great player in baseball is a 300 hitter is basically going to be a Hall of Famer. Right. So they're basically failing 70% of the time. And even though when you make a mistake with a Judge or Stanton, they're going to hit the ball 450 feet, the reality is pitchers are so talented at this level that even if it's not, I mean, just something that the hitter crushes or is able to catch, so many other times you're still going to be able to get them out. Do you feel like sometimes there's a fear factor in the pitchers instead of just going out there and saying, hey, let me make this guy put the ball in play and we'll see
what
happens.
Let me give him my best stuff and see what he does.
Yeah.
There's no question there's that. But there's also, you can have the same nine guys and let me put them in a different order and that lineup becomes super easy to me. Or if you put them in a certain order, I'm like, this line gets up. Tampa used to have Carl Crawford and Joey Gathright.
Yeah.
Both guys flashed. Both guys, they got on base. They stole second. It didn't matter. When you put them 1 and 2, that lineup was so hard because you had to worry about so many different things with them on base. When you put them 9 and 1, it was a walk in the park to me.
When you hear him analyze it like that, it's so different than the way you and I look at it.
Yeah, anyway, we're talking about the World Series. We're here with Josh Towers. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio. We're going to take another commercial break. Stay right where you are.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween murder mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature three-course service, along with two courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all townfolk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
Hey, Bay, Las Vegas. Are you building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass store.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
KBAD Las Vegas.
Hey, you guys up for a little game?
Sports 920. 920. The game.
Led Zeppelin Monday here at Vegas Nonstop on NBC Sports Radio. We're talking baseball, we're talking football, we're talking NBA, we're talking NHL, but we're still talking baseball with former pitcher Josh Towers. Jeffrey with a G. We want to talk a little bit about betting strategy on the World Series. If you can you explain the run line?
Absolutely, absolutely. So tomorrow night, the books here in Las Vegas have Clayton Kershaw on the money line minus 165, which means for every 100 that you want to win, you have to risk $165. Conversely, Houston being the underdog, if you bet 100 on Houston and they do win, you're going to win 155 back. Mm-hmm. How the run line differs is instead of a team winning by simply one run or just winning the game, they now have to win by two runs. And that changes things substantially, especially in a game like this with two great pitchers, a lot on the line. These are usually very close games.
That sounds pretty easy. sounds pretty easy when you think you know who's going to win, huh?
Well,
how often does that come into play?
What does that mean when you think who's going to win?
Josh, who do you think is going to win?
So translate that into betting. What you just said.
You get the Los Angeles Dodgers facing Kershaw's minus 350 all year, and you're like, oh, they're going to win by 10. So you bet them run line, and next thing you know, it's a 3-2 game, and you're like, how does this happen?
Exactly.
It always happens.
Okay, I got you.
No, Josh is absolutely right in that. But here's the thing. In the World Series, you're going to be much more conservative because the games are going to be close. They're played much closer to the vest. But during the course of a season, if you go through it, there's a statistic that's provided in the standings of Major League Baseball one-run games. The majority of teams win about 20% or less of their games by one run. They usually win 80% of their games are won by two runs or more. And that's where the advantage comes in. And the other thing you want to look at is American League teams tend to score more runs. Obviously, we don't have baseball season again starting until next year. In the World Series, it's tougher to lay the run line, as we saw in the Yankees series up until games 1-2 or 2-1, 2-1. So.
And then all of a sudden, New York, they were wide open.
Exactly.
Or back in Houston as well. And you saw a streak early in the year, not the streak where Cleveland won, 20, however many in a row. Yeah, earlier in the year, they had won 20 straight games where they covered the run line in every single one of them.
Correct.
So you got to look at the stats a little more than just going and picking a number off the board.
Now, we used to have a guy on the show that would, he worked at the cage at one of the sports books, and he would bet that there would be one run scored in the first inning.
Well, yeah, that's a fun one, I think.
he was especially on the Athletics. And he would say that they were going to...
Well, the value is taking the yes, because it's generally a plus price.
Yes.
And most people automatically bet the no because of the difficulty in terms of scoring in baseball. You'd be surprised, though, how many times it takes pitchers to settle in and you get a run in the first inning.
Even a guy like Kershaw.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't know stats, but I would say that you can cut my ERA down by half if you got rid of the first inning.
Wow, that's crazy.
I remember they used to say that about Tom Glavine. You got to get to him early. If you don't, it's lights out.
Same thing with guys like Roy Holiday and those guys. You get to him early, but once you let
they go through the lineup once and they see how you're swinging.
If you don't like facing these guys that are this dominant, get them in the first two pitches. Just come out swinging. But as soon as they get to see more pitches against you, you're dead.
That's one thing I love Tony Gwynn said about facing Greg Maddux. They go, well, how hard is it? He goes, actually, it's easier because you know the ball is going to be in the strike zone around it. Some of these other guys are so wild.
I heard that because
you know he's never going to throw at you. You know it's always going to be in the zone, so you don't have to worry about anything coming out of the zone. So you just...
Tony was a great guy. You mentioned Tony Gwynn. I was at his induction in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I made cigars for him, and I got to bring my
son.
With Ripken. With Cal Ripken, Jr.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was the two that went in there?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
the highest attended Hall of Fame induction ever.
Tony asked me to make cigars for him, so I did. I still have some of the cigars.
So cool.
And I said, I'll make cigars for you if I could bring my son to the induction. So he got us. I mean, talk about, that's where we met Gaylord Perry. But he got us, we were sitting in front of John Travolta was behind us. I mean, Tony got us.
Who knew John was such a big baseball fan?
I was a Cubs fan. I sold pennants out in front of Wrigley Field.
Real quick, till we move, we're going to move on to some football, but predictions in the World Series.
How about we just get our money's worth and let's see seven games?
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know at this point.
It looks like the Dodgers are favored from this sheet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's home field.
Listen, they're at home. I mean, by the way, when's the last time we had two 100-win teams in the World Series?
Right. I mean, I think you can just put even money on all these games and call it a day. I mean, I think that's really what.
So then there's value in betting Houston.
I think because I think this 165 is inflated more because of what we saw in that last series where every team won the home game.
That's a good point.
So it's going to be a little inflated.
You know, it's funny, you and I talked about baseball before the playoffs started, and you thought Arizona was going to really give the Dodgers
too.
A run for their
and
money.
They didn't.
They went through them like a buzzsaw, and they didn't take them long to take care of the Cubs either.
I was definitely wrong on that. Well, I enjoyed that a little bit. I liked that series a lot when they went to the Cubs. Hey, let me ask you, I mean, honestly, you see Dallas Keuchel 155 all year. How many times are you not betting him?
No, you're absolutely right. No, you're automatically. Well, it's funny
I'm
you
not
said
saying
that.
Bet him. I'm just saying.
It's funny you said that. I gave both points yesterday. I said, you never see Keuchel at this plus price,
and
you never see Kershaw at this
home.
Such a low at home.
yeah,
it's exactly Josh.
It's like you're stealing
both
ways.
You are 1,000% right. Well, here's the thing. For some people that are local, if you do in-live betting, you'll get some better odds depending on the situation
that
of the game.
That means betting while the game is on.
Correct, yes. So there's always that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and it could work out. Big time in your favor.
Yeah,
I was watching the in-game betting against the Raiders and Chiefs the other night.
Okay,
and all of a sudden the Chiefs went to like +7 or something like that. It was like, yep, I'll take that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But the same thing with the Raiders; they did as well.
Absolutely.
Prediction on the World Series.
I think the Dodgers win this thing. I think they win it in 6 games. They're going right now. You know, my concern was the layoff. But if you look at, they finished on a Sunday. They played Arizona in Game 1 on a Friday. They demolished them. They finished on Monday against the Diamondbacks series. And then they played the Cubs on a Saturday. They came out and throttled them. I don't think the layoff's going to impact them as much as it normally does other teams. I just think Clayton Kershaw is going to be World Series MVP. This guy, I think, is going to roll from what we've seen the regular season.
This is his moment.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is kind of like Alex Rodriguez exercised the demons. I think this is the same thing Barry Bonds did. I think Kershaw does it this year.
Yeah, Alex had an amazing September, by the way, that year.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Dodgers in 7. I'm going to go with Josh. I think it goes 7 games. And somehow this Dodger team seems like just destined. The way Justin Turner's hitting, the way they're pitching.
Everybody's pitching in. That's what's cool about both teams.
That's
everybody
what I'm
pitches.
They're
taking the Astros. I'm taking the Astros.
Jansen's been lights out closing.
Yeah, I got nervous about the Dodgers in September when they were under 500, and then you thought, all right, maybe they're crawling into playoffs and this is bad news, but you know, like you guys just said, it wasn't. They rolled through Arizona, they beat the Cubbies like it was no big deal. I'll tell you this, I'd like to see somebody celebrate at home like Houston got to. You know, the celebrate on the road is no fun. That's the worst thing.
And Dodger fans have been waiting 30 years for this. I mean, you saw Dave Roberts with Tommy Lasorda. Oh, that was such a heartfelt moment. Tommy is obviously getting on in his years. He's not great, but
he's got to be close to 90.
Yeah, he's at least 90, and he looked every bit of it. But it was so nice to see him on the field with Dave Roberts, and Roberts turned to him and said, "This is for you." And it was just, it was a great moment.
Is it 2 days after the World Series are over until Roberts gets an extension? How quickly is he going to negotiate this?
You know, one of the things, we had a guy on our show, and he was talking about Dave Roberts, and he knows Dave very well, and he said one of his great strengths is he's able to combine the front office and the analytics guys and mesh that with the players in terms of personality, disposition. That's the key of a manager, being able to manage personalities and bullpen.
About Dusty Baker getting fired right away?
I mean, listen, he brought this team so far for so long, and he can't get over the hump.
It was time.
It was time for a new captain. I'm sorry.
I didn't like him as a manager of the Cubs. I thought he always looked like he was sleeping. emotion out of him.
I don't dislike Dusty, but I just think it's time for some fresh blood in there.
Could it go back to what you just said, though? Is Dusty pre-technology, pre-Twitter, pre-social media, and we're in the post-era where all these guys live and breathe it every day, so Dave Roberts is in tune to it, and maybe they weren't. I mean, we talked about it, and you just said it. There's so much more than teaching the X and O's as a manager. It's no longer my job. It's preparation and how to
everything.
Relate to these guys.
And the social media and what's going on and what could possibly be getting in their head that I don't see on a regular basis.
Correct.
And Josh, to your point, baseball is such a long season. You really have to, it's not only are you sitting there managing guys from a game standpoint, but just personal lives. They've got things going on. People forget these are players. They're not robots.
That's big, too. Getting to know them off the field and what's going on in the personal
life. How does Dusty Baker talk to a kid like Bryce Harper who's 23, 24 years old?
What? I think Dusty's strength is relating with people. I look at two things that got Dusty fired. Bringing in Sammy Solis in the 6th inning for Max Scherzer at 98 pitches in Game 3 in a game tied at 1-1 when you've got, in my opinion, Max is the guy for me. To me, Max is as good as anybody, especially away from home. His ERA this year is 1.5. And then the second decision was pitching to Anthony Rizzo when you have first base open and you could have walked Rizzo.
Who's behind him?
Rizzo even said that. It's like, why were they pitching to me?
I didn't even know
are
that.
Are you talking about when they brought Scherzer in out of the bullpen or when he was starting?
No, no, no.
Because when he started,
when he started,
that was when he was going for me.
Yeah.
That was terrible. And he didn't even like give him I mean, it was just, the whole thing was bad.
And Scherzer had a lot more in the tank.
Absolutely. He's at 98 pitches, but the argument was, well, he just came back off the DL. Listen, Max is a gamer. He is an absolute. Absolutely.
You guys know what it means when we come off the DL? That means we've been pitching to the minor leagues for a month.
Well, that's exactly. When a guy's ready to come back, he's ready to go.
Yeah,
exactly.
We're ready to go.
All right, well, Redskins versus the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
We do
football.
Have a football game tonight. We've got some propositional bets to look at. Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead. What do you think?
Listen, this is a huge game for both teams here, right? Eagles are 5-1. A lot of people are on the bandwagon, hottest team around. Carson Wentz, second year, he's looking great. I think they finally figured out how to use LeGarrette Blount. Hello, one of the better running backs in the league who just runs downhill over people. 18 touchdowns last year with the Patriots. Nelson Aguilar is one of those receivers that no one's talking about who I absolutely love, and he's an absolute stud. And Wentz and he have found some real good chemistry. And then you throw in Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. That's a fun team to watch right now.
They're really a good team, and I think this team is right now playing at a level that you have to potentially look at making them the favorite in the NFC. I mean, they are playing outstanding
football.
With
the way Seattle, Atlanta's playing, no more. I keep calling him Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers.
You keep calling him Brett Favre.
I totally agree with you. So, and if they win tonight, they're going to have a 3-game lead in the division. I don't think anyone has to worry about the Giants. It'll basically be a 2-team race for the East between Dallas and the Eagles.
They don't have to worry about the Giants winning the division, but what they do have to worry about is the Giants beating them and preventing them from winning the division.
Absolutely, and the Giants would love nothing more.
There's no question. The revenge factor is always huge. They're going to play them. Giants already got knocked off in Philadelphia. This is a revenge game for Washington. They lost in week
opening one, season.
31-19 in Washington. That was a close competitive game. One of the things, if you're looking at betting this game, I don't really have a strong opinion on the total. But
is there another reason to watch it?
Well, listen, if you're like me...
Oh, I got fantasy. I got fantasy by you, John.
I was going to say, I have Alshon Jeffrey tonight. I need him to have a big game.
If you're like me and you like football, especially divisional games, are always fun to watch. Teams know each other so well.
And that's what scares me about this line at 5.5.
That's why I like the Redskins in the 5.5, because it's a tight competitive game. The other thing in the NFL is, if you're up by 11 in that situation, teams will always, in their prevent defense, give you a walk-in touchdown, backdoor cover. Absolutely.
The problem with Washington right now is no Josh Norman in the secondary. Yep. I think they're going to have a real hard time slowing down that passing game. And now that they have been using Blount a lot more, they can use the play action.
I've been using
secondary
Blount a lot more.
Well, you know, and I think the I can't even talk to you.
Well, they lost Dustin
Don't
Hopkins.
Look at him.
They lost
just
Dustin Hopkins, wall. Their kicker.
Well, they brought in that kid too. That, yeah. the
they
kicker
have a
today.
New kicker now that you don't know what you're going to get from him either.
Well, Hopkins, it was the hallmark of consistency under 40 yards. Consistency, if I could say that. But under 40 yards, his numbers were amazing. I still think this would be a competitive game. I really like Carson Wentz. His disposition.
Love that kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
He's just
it's unbelievable.
So, yeah,
he really is. And I got to tell you, as a scrambler in the pocket, he's become really good using his legs to avoid a turnover, a sack, and he doesn't have a lot of turnovers. I think he only has 2 on the year.
It's a good thing Jared Goff has showed up this year, because I think they were starting to quickly regret that decision of not taking Carson Wentz, but good thing he has. But Carson Wentz is an absolute stud. Yo, so I need 35 points tonight. I got
how many players?
I got the kicker, I got Carson Wentz, and in my flex, you want Aguilar or you want LeGarrette Blount?
Well, I would take
Is it a PPR
Blount.
League?
Yes, it is.
I gotta go Aguilar. I got it.
Why?
Because he can have 4 catches for 40 yards, and there's 8 points for you. LeGarrette's got to pick up 80 yards on the ground to get that kind of.
Fair enough. What about touchdowns?
And they're not throwing to LeGarrette out of the backfield.
What about touchdowns?
2 catches.
Touchdowns are usually 6 points.
What's the over and under?
Yeah.
Over under is 48.5, which is pretty high.
48.5?
Yeah.
Washington can score points. Like I said, I told Jonathan before we came on the air, I don't touch totals in the NFL anymore. There's too many phantom calls
God,
and
so
too many
right. crazy.
That's so killed me yesterday.
Yeah, you're so right.
Jonathan, if you listened to me yesterday, I told you Minnesota Vikings, it was non-sweat.
I couldn't find you yesterday.
It went over
you
were
hanging around
happened?
Gas stations.
Can we talk about the state of the NFL and how bad it is right now?
I know you want to get your rant in.
It is bad. I mean, this nonsense with the Cowboys. Just pick a side and call it a day. Let's
forget
go.
The Cowboys, right? But, I mean, look at the football in general. Last night, Atlanta had an unbelievable opportunity to come to Foxborough, smack Brady and the Patriots in the face. They didn't even show
up. Wait a minute. I have a question. What would smacking Brady and them in the face have done besides win the game?
How about having a pass rush, putting him on his butt a handful of times? How about throwing to Julio Jones?
No, number 11? I get all that. What I'm saying is, listen, it still doesn't exercise the demons of losing a Super Bowl. You can never make up for that.
You're right, and that taste will always be in their mouth. But you can at least somewhat overcome a little bit of it by saying, hey, listen, we're not as bad as we've been.
Let you know that you can beat them if you show up in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
Because now they can't beat them.
No. They're done.
They're dead.
They don't show up for anybody. They lost 17-point lead to Miami Dolphins last week.
All right, we're going to get into Monday night and Sunday's games, but we're going to take our last commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920.
Thursday, October 26th, Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas presents A Touch of Mystery's annual Halloween Murder Mystery. Enjoy Lowry's signature three-course service, along with two courses of mystery, intrigue, mayhem, and fun. This year, the show is Mystery at the Earthquake Saloon, a musical murder mystery. Journey back to the 1880s, troubles a-brewing in the town of Earthquake, Nevada. You're all town folk attending the wedding of Rattlesnake Dick, a womanizing cad to mail-order bride Bethany Sanders, a woman he won in a poker game. Lowry's Halloween Murder Mystery Dinner is on October 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Price just $99 per person, inclusive of tax and gratuity. Alcoholic beverages and sodas are additional. Lowry's Las Vegas is located at 4043 Howard Hughes Parkway off of East Flamingo between Koval and Paradise. Reservations are required and can be obtained by going to atouchofmystery.com. You can make your reservations from the website or at Lowry's Prime Rib Las Vegas or by calling 702-497-7936. That's 702-497-7936.
Hey, Las Vegas, are you building your new dream home, adding skylights, or are you a general contractor looking for the best window treatments in the valley? Windows Plus, the number one window and glass door provider in Las Vegas, invites you to call them for a free estimate or stop by their modern showroom to view all the possibilities for your new windows or to replace your tired, worn-out windows and glass doors. Windows Plus can help you lower your power bills and make your home the talk of the neighborhood. Windows Plus, serving Las Vegas for over 40 years. Windows Plus, 5225 South Valley View, at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. 702-450-2275. That's 702-450-2275.
For more than 35 years, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing has been servicing the Las Vegas Valley for general repairs, water conditioning, water line detection, and so much more. Specializing in bathroom and kitchen remodeling, A.A. Cassaro Plumbing and A.A. Cassaro Construction feature over 35 years of satisfied customers. A.A. Cassaro is family-owned and operated. Check out aacassaroplumbing.com today.
At Comfort Care Dental Group in Las Vegas, we know there's more to great smiles than teeth. We provide trusted, comfortable care tailored to your individual needs. We offer appointments 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Saturdays and Sundays, so you won't have to miss work. Plus, patients with insurance pay $0 out of pocket for teeth cleanings. You can schedule an appointment online anytime, 24/7 at ccdgp.com. See why our patients can't stop smiling. Plenty of free parking, so call or book today. Comfort Care Dental Group on 7th Street off Charleston.
NBC Sports 920 The Game is KBAD Las Vegas.
Monday afternoon here in fabulous Las Vegas, entertainment capital of North America. Just a reminder, November 5th, there's going to be a benefit at the Venetian Hotel and Casino to build a permanent memorial to those that were injured or, of course, lost their lives on October 1st here in Las Vegas. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But anyway, go to the Venetian website. You can find out more information on that.
Did they say where they're going to put that?
No, they didn't. I didn't get the press release full yet, but I'll have it by the middle of this week, and I can let you know.
Yeah, cool.
So we're talking football. We've talked a little bit about tonight's game with Eagles versus the Skins, and let's move on to some favorite games on Sunday. Vikings and Browns are playing in jolly old... Is this it for London now, or is there more going to be more games this season?
There's more games, except I think Mexico City's next on the schedule. Who's New England playing in Mexico City?
The Raiders.
Ooh.
Is this the second time the Raiders have been there?
Yes.
Yes.
So there's some big spreads again on Sunday. The Cleveland Browns are +9.5. I don't know how they could determine who the home team is, and they're playing in London, England, but anyway...
I guess you don't want to be. That means you lose a home game for real.
Correct. Yeah. That's true.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Bears are getting +9, and during the break we were talking about the Bears' defense scoring most of the points in yesterday's game. Against the Saints, I like the Bears +9 against Drew Brees and the Saints.
I agree, but given what we saw yesterday against Carolina, how are they scoring any points in New Orleans? A New Orleans defense that actually looks a little better. Trubisky's great. He's managing the game. What did he have, 7 passes yesterday?
7 attempts, 4 completions.
Okay. Like, you know,
crazy, right?
17 points scored, 14 defensively. Well, I don't think they're going to have that kind of I don't think they're going to have all those pick sixes against Drew Brees in the dome per se, but I'll tell you what I like in that game is the under. 48?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, especially the Bears' defense playing well. I like what the Bears are doing. You don't want to wear out Trubisky's arm. You don't want him throwing the ball more than 2 times a quarter.
Listen, if he can attempt 7 passes, if he can attempt 7 passes and be successful, do it all year long.
Well, I mean, granted, he didn't have as many opportunities with the pick sixes, but still, 7's crazy.
Tanya Brennan's 49ers in Philadelphia playing the Eagles on a short week for them. Eagles -10.5, Niners going... straight to hell, right?
Oh, they're going to cover.
0-6, 0-7?
They're going to cover at some point. They got to win a game, right? I'm just going to keep taking them until they win.
What, they lose by 30 in the Niners?
They did, but you know what? The previous 5, they lost by 3 points or less. First time in NFL history, a team had lost 5 consecutive games by 3 points or less.
And so then everyone, all the experts, hopped on Dallas yesterday, -6.5, and it was over before it started.
Yeah, it really was.
Zeke, 2 quick touchdowns, it's 14-0, they never look back.
Fumble the kickoff return, it's game over, huh?
Exactly. Wow.
Another big spread, Cincinnati, Colts in Cincinnati, Indianapolis getting +10.
That's a
Bengals
barn burner.
-10, huh?
That's a barn burner.
One of my favorite names in the NFL, one of the best players, Adriel Jeremiah Green, A.J. Green, wide receiver for the Bengals. I think he'll have a big day against the Colts.
Is Burfict going to be suspended?
He should be, and I think he will be probably.
For
tomorrow.
How many this time?
One game, probably.
How about they keep giving 12? Him one. I agree with you.
I agree with you.
Dirtiest guy in the game.
It's not even close. There's nobody in the rearview mirror.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no repeat offender.
There is. That's why I depends on the severity of it. But you're right. That's why he got 3 games last time. And I think he will again.
He kicked him in the head
and then pointed immediately at the other dude. So,
oh really? Like you're next.
Like he made me kick him. It was not my fault.
You made me kick him. I didn't want to do it. Only 2 games at 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Texans in Seattle. Yeah, there's only 2 games.
Oh, I don't like that.
At 1 o'clock.
That's not fun.
That's terrible.
The game
that we'll be getting here in Las Vegas is the Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, short week again for the Skins, and that's a you pick 'em.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll take the Cowboys just on a
coin
Dallas'
toss. Offensive line has been playing extremely well the last 5 quarters. The running game has really started to pick up, so I think they'll have that advantage in that matchup.
Well, we're going to see what happens with the Skins tonight and who gets hurt and...
Well, they're already pretty banged up in their secondary.
Seattle better watch out versus Houston.
I agree. Now they got Dwayne Brown back, their offensive lineman. That's a huge addition for them.
And who's been playing great at quarterback, that young rookie? What's his name?
Oh, you tell me. I know. Listen, Deshaun Watson, but hey, no.
Come on.
Hold on a minute. I got Tim Tebow in his first playoff game. I don't see a busted kid.
He actually had a decent season.
Yes, exactly.
And what was your favorite?
I think a season was 1 year.
Okay. What was your favorite penalty from yesterday in the NFL? Who came running off the bench?
Oh, wow.
Marshawn Lynch on Thursday night. Yeah.
Was that Thursday night's game?
Yeah.
He came running off.
His cousin, who's on the other team.
And shoved the ref.
Yes. Well, here's the best part is, if you run, you know, if you take your helmet off on the field, it's a penalty.
Right.
Marshawn was smart enough in his moment of rage to grab his helmet off the bench, put it on, and then run out there to get a flag anyway.
I think the fine was like $105,000.
Did you see the video from the train?
No.
Yeah, he rode the train home.
He rode the train home. He got the crowd going.
Well, he was in the stands afterwards. He pulled the Bobby Valentine.
I love him, man.
And he's like hiding in the crowd with like his little hoodie on.
He was hilarious.
Well, what's funny was all the people around him wanted to like take a video. They're so afraid of him. The kid was like this over his shoulder.
That was my favorite penalty.
Marshawn was
going
to snap his neck.
He's running off the bench to go push a ref. I thought it was funny.
He got a bad rap, kind of like Albert Bell, and they're like the nicest people.
Albert Bell should have won MVP. when he hit
when Mo Vaughn stole it from him.
Yes, Mo, 50 homers, 50 doubles should have been
MVP. Come on, Mo Vaughn.
95.
You got a four pick?
And I do.
What is it? Give us your four pick.
My four pick is the New York Jets plus +5 at home against Atlanta. Under 48 in the Bears. I'll take the Chargers plus +7 against New England. I'll take Houston plus +5.5 against Seattle.
I'll take the opposite of all those except the Houston.
I want to thank Josh Towers for joining us today. Hopefully you have a chance to come in during the series and visit with us
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What a great show today.
I'll see you at the gas station picking up women.
As long as he's not buying gas station sushi.
I'm a vegetarian. It's okay.
Like us on Facebook, Jonathan Scott LV. Eat well, party hard, my friends. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?